It's a short message. Luke 19:40. I'm going to preach about three things, and the last thing will be relevant to the meeting we had today. God is so faithful and good. He gave me a message about this day about 3 months ago, and I tried to forget it, put it away, not because I wanted to, just because I just forgot. And I thought, well, Lord, I'll just move on from that. It's not what I'll be preaching there, I guess. But then the Lord took me to one little simple scripture, and I think about my wife when I hear this scripture out of Luke 19:40. And then I'm going to preach about three, and then the fourth will be today. So the title of the message is, What Would the Rock Say? Do you smell what the rock say? What would the rock say? Finally. Sorry. I grew up on wrestling, I'm sorry. In 1940, Luke 19:40, Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem on the back of an untrained, unridden colt. And people are worshiping him and praising him. And Jesus says one of the most amazing things that the scriptures record. And I've been hearing this passed around and talked about, and people say songs have been written. But then God gave me a word. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Jesus came out down near the temple as he rode into Jerusalem, and the religious people of that time, the religious without God, the religious without Christ, the religious without the understanding that Jesus, it takes Jesus to be in heaven, to be in faith. As Jesus was riding by, they came out and said, would you please quieten down? We're trying to worship God inside. And for one time only, Jesus said, I will get my praise on earth before I go to the cross. And if you don't allow them to praise, there's the challenge. If you don't praise Jesus, if you don't worship Jesus, God says, I will get the rocks. I love how the word says it. He said, immediately. Whew. I could preach for 25 minutes on the word immediately. God said, if you stop immediately, I'll replace you with a rock. Goodness gracious. That should scare some of you. Some of you should say, I was going to praise him, but guess what? God has somebody or something that will take your place. And I got in there and say, wonder what would the rock say? What would those rocks say if they could say something? And then God started blowing me up with this. In Psalm 78:19, I'm going to go to this one, but the next two I'm not going to go to. I'm just going to refer to them. But in Psalms, sorry about that, Psalm 78. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. Psalm 78. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Psalm 78:19. And 20, it says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And then verse 20, it says, behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? This talked about when Moses and the children went through the wilderness and they needed something to drink, and Moses took the rod and smote the rock and water came out. Amen. And I was thinking to myself, what would that rock say if it would have gave praise? It would have said, he is God. He has always been God. God was representing Jesus in the Old Testament by the way of the rock that followed them through the desert. And when they needed water in a dry place, he would provide. He is faithful. He has always been. I love when I read that scripture. It said, can he provide a table in the wilderness? That rock would cry out and say, God can provide in a wilderness. But guess what? I'm going to tell you right now, friend. I'm going to tell you to your face. That rock will not have to say that, because I will. I will. I will stand here with the last breath that I have in my lungs, and I will tell you this: God will provide in your wilderness. God has provided in my wilderness. God has always been, and He always will be. That rock would say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Amen. In the beginning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He has always been. That rock will never have to cry out, because I will. Amen. He's always been. From the beginning to the end of the book, He's always been. Jesus says, I come, lo, I come in the volume of the book. That rock would say, Jesus has always been. But that rock won't have to, because we will. I wish every Sunday somebody would get up and say, God will. Somebody, I don't know if God can provide. Yes, He can. He's provided for me. Amen. I know this for a fact. If you'll ever get a hold of Him and give your whole life to Jesus, you'll see that He'll provide. Some of you have rested too much in jobs, too much in your physical health, too much into your life, too much into your knowledge, too much into your wisdom, too much into your family, and you have not fully trusted God the way you can. So you don't know if He can provide. But let me tell you something this, like this. If you'll give it to God, God will give you a better life. Some of you don't know how to do life without Jesus yet. You'll come to a place. I hope you do. You'll come to a place. I didn't think I'd ever come to a place. I didn't ever think I'd come to a place that I would say, you know what? I think I can give my life to Jesus and He'll provide for me. I remember when Jesus first called me into ministry. First thing I told Him, God, I don't know. I don't know if You can. I got a wife and kids to feed. I got a wife and kids to put under a roof. I got a wife and kids to put clothes on their back. And God just says, you don't think I can? You think you can do a better job than me? You got somebody that can provide for you better than I can? I finally relinquished control and said, God, I think You can. You know what? He did, and He will. Amen? The next one's come. There's another rock there God put on our heart and our mind. Comes out of Daniel 6 and verse 17. And in the book of Daniel, they took a stone and they rolled it to the door of the lion's den. Glory, glory. They rolled that stone. They took Daniel. You know what Daniel got in trouble for? I hope somebody would get in trouble for this. You know what Daniel got in trouble for? Praying to Jesus. They came down with an ordinance. If anybody prays in any other name other than the name of the King, he'll be put in the lion's den and be destroyed. I love what Daniel did. It don't say that Daniel did this before, but it says he done it after. Said he went up to where he always prayed. Good God. Do you have a place where you always go? He went up there and rolled open the windows. Amen? Opened every one of them. And began to pray in the mighty name of God. Amen? He started praying and people started listening. And they said, he's done it again. He's trusting on God instead of listening to the ordinance. We got some people in here. You had followed the government before you had followed Jesus. Amen? You had followed the rule before you followed God. And he fell on his face and he prayed out to God. He said, which way is the temple? Oh, we ain't got to do that anymore, because wherever we pray, that's where God is. Amen? He started praying and they come and got him. I love the scriptures because the scriptures leave out everything in between where they got him and where they took him. He didn't make a case. He didn't get a lawyer. He didn't try to get out of the trouble. They just cast him into the lion's den. Those lions were hungry. They were fierce. They did want to destroy him. They did want to eat him. They wanted to. Every lion wants to destroy you too. If you don't know, in the Bible, the Bible refers to the devil as a roaring lion. Daniel got rolled off down into that lion's den with a pack of hungry lions. And then they rolled that rock. And the rock seen it all. Daniel stood there and those lions could not and would not eat Daniel. And if that rock could speak today, it would say, God is faithful even when the enemy wants to destroy you. God, I wish you would hear this. There's some of you sitting right now, you've been in your lion's den, and it's trying to kill you mentally, emotionally, physically. But let me tell you something. The rock will say this, it won't happen. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to make up my mind. Ain't no rock going to outdo me. Praise God, I'm going to tell you right now, the lion tried to kill me all the way through my teens, all the way through my 20s. It tried to destroy me, eat me, try to get me, it tried to tear every bit of my life. But the rock would say, hey, guess what? He's faithful. I'm standing here telling you, he's faithful. All you got to do is say, I trust in God more than I trust in the destructive power of Satan and all of his demons. Amen. Whew. Man, we should have altar call right now. There are several people sitting in this very room. You're being tormented outside these four walls, and you need God's help. You need to stop playing around, and you need to come, and you need to say, God, I need you to encamp in my life. There are some people in this very room. There are adults in this room. You shouldn't be here. Things have happened to you. Things have been said to you. You should have never be here. But God is faithful. The rock should never cry out louder than you saying that he's faithful. I know there's some people sitting in here this morning. If your whole story could flash up there and we could see your faith, people would say, why in the world are you doing in the house of the Lord? Because when the lion tried to destroy me, God got bigger than the thing that was trying to kill me. And I will praise him. Those rocks will not get louder than me about him, if he's able to deliver or not. John chapter 20. This is a good one. Early in the morning. Good gosh, I might read this one. Sorry. I said I wasn't going to read any more of them, but it's too good not to read. John chapter 20 and verse 1. I like just to preach this in that way. Y'all don't mind, do you? Y'all got anywhere to be? About four people told the truth. About six of you just kept quiet. I'll just chase old Parker down the aisle here. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Whew, good gosh. Good. Man, don't y'all ever shout? Have y'all ever done a Bible study? Does anybody know who Mary Magdalene is?
Amen.
When God met her, who was she? A mess. Guess what Mary Magdalene had on board when Jesus come to town? How many? What's the number seven mean? Completion. So if there's seven devils, that means she was completely taken over? But when Jesus was crucified, and they needed somebody to come down and see the tomb. I don't know about all the other Marys in the room. I don't. Some of y'all, I don't know about all the spiritual ones. I don't know all the ones that were supposed to be there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, I know, you know, she was a virgin. She done it right. Old Mary Magdalene, walking the floor. Tell me when it's sun up. Why?
Because, ladies, as soon as the sun rises, we're getting this stuff and we're going down and we're going to take care of Jesus. I know them two boys went down there and they took care of Jesus best they could. Good God. Let two men just clean something. Them women said, I know what I'm going to do. Mary Magdalene said, I know. I know. I know. The day he met me, I had seven devils in me. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear the worship. I couldn't hear the message. I couldn't hear love. I couldn't hear forgiveness. And one day, Jesus came and spoke into my life. And I heard clearly, Mary, Mary. Remember at the end of this story right here, she thinks she's talking to the gardener. I might just skip a few chapters. Where have you placed him? Supposingly that she was speaking to the gardener, she was. Some of you other preachers could take that. He's the greatest gardener that's ever been. He's the only person I know that can take rotten, corrupt, broken down branches and put them in a whole branch and make them produce fruit. What have you done with him? She turns from him and she says, he says, Mary. I remember when he first called my name. Couldn't hear love, couldn't hear forgiveness, couldn't hear the message, couldn't hear the worship. She turns and goes, it's one of the sweetest places in the Bible. She turns and goes, Rabboni. I know, we're not Jewish. But Rabboni means master. Whew. Have you ever called him master? Have you ever called him Lord? Have you ever let him be Lord? First one down to the tomb. Watch this right here. And when it was yet dark under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. There's a stone we could hear from. What would it say? When they rolled it shut, it would say, I seen broken. I seen death. I seen unrecognizable. But 3 days later, the rock would say, I seen the whole thing. I seen death overcome. I seen life come back from death. I seen broken made whole. I seen unrecognizable become recognizable. Here's my favorite part. He's alive! That stone would scream out today and say, he's alive! It won't have to. I will. Because inside of me, he's alive. Inside of me, he lives. Just like the old stone, I'm just a chip off the old block. Takes one to recognize one. Rocks, when they finally finished, turn to dust. He is no longer in the tomb. He yet lives. He lives. And for today's service, and as we start to leave here today, 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12 is one of the sweetest places in the Bible. The children of Israel were in a battle, and they were wicked before God. Are you in a battle, and have you been kind of living outside the will of God? No, let me change that. I just kind of went into kind of like that preacher mode that I hate so much. I said kind of living out the will of God. No, no, no. Are you willfully living in sin and rebelling against God? Because that's what the children of Israel were doing. They were willfully sinning and living outside the will of God, trying to do life their way. And they got attacked by their worst enemy, the Philistines. They went to the prophet. We don't have to go to the prophet anymore. We can go to Jesus. And they said to the prophet, will you please
bombard heaven on our behalf as we go into battle. We will turn. We will repent from our wicked ways. You continue to pray, and we will go out to meet our enemy. When the enemy showed up, the children of Israel got nervous. God, I wish I could preach as good as this is. They went back to the prophet, and they said, you better pray double hard. We've been mighty wicked. We've done mighty wrong, and we need a mighty God. Amen? And he did. He took a small lamb. I think I preached about that last week. He took a small lamb and he offered it up before God without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Made a prayer to God, and God said, we don't deserve it, but we need you. The Philistines came up and started to attack, and God thundered down out of heaven. Golly, y'all are so cool. I don't know how y'all do it. Y'all act like y'all hear thunderings from God every day. He came down and hundreds of thousands of soldiers were struck with confusion in a matter of seconds. And the children of Israel slaughtered their enemy. And God came down. Come on, Scott. God came down, dismantled the enemy. The children of Israel ran through their enemy and started praising Jesus. The prophet Samuel took a rock and said, this is Ebenezer. Amen? And planted it. Poof, and said, God has been a help to us so far. Say, what are you talking about now, preacher? It's a rock right there. You know what it says? Ebenezer. God has been a help to us this far. We're standing on this rock right here, Ebenezer. God has been a help to us this far. When we walk across over there to that building, we'll look back across to this one and go, God is going to be a help to us this far. And if he's been faithful there, and he's been faithful here, he'll be faithful over there. Same Jesus, same God, same Holy Spirit, same messages, same worship. All we got to do is remember not to turn from God, not to walk away from what works. And what works is Jesus is preeminent here. God will be our Ebenezer. He will be our help in troubled times. Let's all stand. If God has spoken to you,